Good morning.
Good
to see so many people out this morning. I want to welcome our visitors. We're glad to have you with us, and we're happy to have all those who have tuned in to our live stream. We're thankful that you are joining us online. This past week, we had our gospel meeting, and Brother Sean Jeffries made it home safely. He wanted me to convey again his thanks for the invitation and the thanks for your hospitality and generosity towards him while he was here. And that leads me to what I want to talk about this morning. I was reminded this past week about the importance of hospitality. So I want to talk about entertaining angels, the call to hospitality. Our text is going to be Hebrews 13, verses 1 to 2, and we're going to read that in just a second. But our scripture reading that we just had in Matthew 25, 35 to 40, read by Brother Mickey, we're going to touch on that a little later on as well, as that plays an important role in talking about hospitality. But Hebrews 13, 1 to 2 says this: Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. I want us to understand as we start to talk about hospitality, and hopefully, and we're not talking about every example and every scripture on it, but I want us to see as we go through this morning's lesson, hospitality is not a suggestion. It's not an option for saints. It is a mark of godliness and leadership. It is a sacred command. Scripture presents hospitality as not just a courtesy for the gifted or the extroverted, but it is a mark of godliness. It is a requirement for leadership. It is a reflection of God's love. It becomes a reflection for Christ's love as we read through the New Testament. In both Old and New Covenants, God's people were called upon to open their homes, their tables, and their hearts to the stranger, to the foreigner among them, as well as to one another. As we look there in Hebrews 13, 1 to 2, that says, Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. The Greek word for hospitality is Strong's 5381, and it's philoxenia. It literally means love for strangers. It is a love that reaches beyond family. It's a love that reaches beyond our circle of friends. It's a love that reaches beyond those in our circle of influence, those we're comfortable with. It's a love that takes us out of our comfort zone to show love to those we may not know. That's what hospitality means to do, is to show love to those we don't know yet, to welcome them in and to get to know them. Hebrews 13:2 reminds us, Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. We're going to talk about this just a little later on, but to me this echoes the account of Abraham in Genesis 18, where Abraham generously welcomes three strangers into his tent, prepares a feast for them, and it turns out that it's God in the flesh with two angels, and it leads to a revelation of a promise from God that by that time the following year, the promised son of Isaac would be there. His generosity, his hospitality led to this promise of the birth of Isaac. Hospitality is more than just a cultural nicety or social norm. It's a divine expectation. And that's what I hope to show you this morning as we look through these things, both in Old and New Covenants. And see, the hospitality is an expectation that God has for His people, no matter what covenant they lived under. In fact, as Brother Mickey read for us, Jesus Himself ties eternal destiny to hospitality. In Matthew 25, 35, He said, I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Then those He's talking to on His right, they're going to say, When did we do these things? And Jesus says in verse 40, To the least that you did it to my brothers, you did it to me. Tying in the importance, our soul's dependence on opening up our homes and our tables and our hearts to those around us. Hospitality isn't just a suggestion. It's not just an option. I want you to understand it is a sacred command for saints. And so to neglect hospitality is to neglect Jesus. He said, the ones that you did it to me. But on the other hand, when He talks to those on His left, they said, When did we see you in all these things and not do them? And he said, when you didn't do it to your brothers, you didn't do it to me. And they're accursed and thrown into that lake of fire. Today, we'll see how God calls every saint to open their homes, their tables, and their hearts. Because hospitality is where heaven meets earth. There's an old phrase that I found that says hospitality is where heaven meets earth. And it's rooted in Scripture, where God expected it of His people under the old covenant, and Christ expects it of His people under the new covenant. So I want us to look at hospitality in the Old Testament and see that it was a sacred duty. It was more than just a cultural thing. We oftentimes talk about, and we hear that hospitality in the ancient world was an expected societal norm. Well, I'll have you know that there are some societal norms that are expected of people today regarding hospitality. Do we do them? When we look at the Old Testament and we look at these hospitality laws and these cultural things, yes, it was cultural. But it also was where heaven met earth. Think about Genesis 18, 1-8. Abraham sees three men. He runs to meet them. He initiates it. And he offers them rest. He offers them water. And he offers them a feast. He doesn't wait to be asked. He initiates it. And his hospitality leads to the promise of God of Isaac the very time the next year. Isaac had been promised for a while. But here in this realm of hospitality, this event, this social circumstance, God reveals to Abraham this time next year, the 25 years of waiting is over, and the promise of Isaac was made. When we look at Lot, we find in Genesis 19, 1-3, Lot protects angels as they come under his doorstep for hospitality. It reminds us of more than just the cultural expectation of when you're invited in to be watered and fed. You're also expected to be protected. When Lot brought the angels under his home, under his roof, he brought them in under his protection. And he protected the angels. Later on in Genesis 24, we read of Rebekah's hospitality. In verses 15-20 of Genesis 24, Abraham's servant is on his way and he prays to God and he's asking, he's supposed to bring back a wife for Isaac, Abraham's son. And as he gets to this area and he runs into Rebekah, she offers not only water to him, but she also offers water to his camels. She demonstrates extravagant generosity. It's one thing to draw water for a man to drink, but then to also offer water to his camels who would be very thirsty. This was not a few minutes worth of time task. This was something that was going to demand a lot of her time. And she willingly gave it. Again, she initiated that kind of hospitality. And that encounter led to a marriage with Isaac. I like what Job says in the book of Job 31, verse 32. Job says, no stranger had to spend the night in the street, for my door was always open. When we look back in the beginning chapters of Job and we see who this man was, we find he was a very wealthy man. He was a man of means. And yet he says he shared what he had been blessed with the stranger. He didn't say, no family of mine was in the street. He said, no stranger was in the street, because he would bring them under his roof. That meant he showed them hospitality of water and food, but also his protection. But I like what Job says. My door was always open. Brethren, only you can answer this because it's between you and God, but is your door always open? That's what I want us to be thinking about, is the kind of hospitality that we're willing to show. The widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17, verses 8-16, this is a phenomenal story. There's a great famine in the land. The king and queen of Israel are scouring the countryside looking for Elijah. They want to put him to death because of the famine. And Elijah's not in Israel. He's with the enemies of God's people. He went up to Tyre and Sidon, the very people that Queen Jezebel came from. She's a daughter of the king of Phoenicia. She's a Phoenician princess. And Elijah from God is sent into Phoenicia where he seeks rest and refuge. And he ends up at the home of the widow of Zarephath. And he tells her to feed him first. She's dying of this famine too. This famine wasn't just in Israel. It reached all the way into Phoenicia. And she has a son and she says, all I have is this last little bit of flour and oil that my son and I were going to eat our last meal with and then die. And Elijah says, give it to me first. This took a lot of faith and I would say a lot of patience for a stranger to come in and hear your plight. You're about to eat your last meal with your loved one and then you both plan to die. And he says, oh no, feed me first. This is extraordinary hospitality that she shows the man of God. Because she gives to him of her meager means of the flour and oil. And she gives to Elijah first. Even with nothing left, she shows hospitality to a stranger. And it led to a miraculous blessing from God. Her oil and her flour were multiplied. That she and her family were taken care of by God in a supernatural, divine way throughout the rest of that famine. All because she showed hospitality to a stranger first. It is well known that in the ancient Near East, hospitality was a sacred social norm. Travelers depended on the kindness of strangers for survival. And you were shunned if you were seen as someone who did not offer that kind of hospitality. To refuse hospitality was shameful. To give it was honorable. God's people were expected to embody that cultural virtue as a spiritual duty. Not just because it was cultural, but because God's people were expected to show kindness to the foreigner, to the stranger among them, and yes, to even one another. But it was more than just cultural. It's how God reveals His love through His people. That's what hospitality does. As you look at just these few examples, and I didn't even talk about the Shunammite woman who showed Elisha the prophet such hospitality that she talked to her husband and they made up a whole room for him to have as his own refuge whenever he passed by. Hospitality was a divine duty. It was a sacred duty. And something that God expected of His people. But is that what's expected now? What did hospitality in the New Testament look like? We're going to find that it's a command for saints. Jesus said in Matthew 25, 35 to 40, He equated hospitality with eternal reward. I want to thank Brother Mickey for reading this and go back to it. Matthew 25, 35 to 40. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. You see, that this isn't just something that's a cultural nicety that he's asking. Jesus says, I want you to be hospitable to the point that it's going to cost you. It might cost you your clothes. It might cost you resources to provide the clothes. It might cost you resources and time to invite someone in and spend time with them. Jesus says, but when you do it to one of them, you did it to me. That's why I like that phrase, hospitality is where heaven meets earth. When you invite someone in, you're inviting Jesus in. Did you catch what he said? When you invite me in, when you invite a stranger in, when you invite one of each other in, you're inviting Jesus in with you. So how do you keep Jesus out? by not opening your doors, by not showing hospitality. And that's what happens when he turns his attention to those on his left. The early church, in Acts 2:46 and Acts 4:32, believers shared meals and possessions, embodying true hospitality. They shared their food, they shared their possessions that they gave to anyone who had need. This was costly. And yet they did it because they had love for one another. Lydia, I like this story in Acts 16:14 to 15. Immediately after her conversion, the very first act of faith that she shows is she opens her home to Paul and his companions. Hospitality was her very first act of faith after being converted. She opens her home up to Paul and his companions. They had traveled a long way. And we understand from that time period was still that when you opened your door, there was the expectation you provided warmth, you provided safety, you provided security, you provided food, and you provided water. She invited them in. We also look at Priscilla and Aquila, Romans 16:3 through 5, and it's also mentioned in 1 Corinthians 16:19. Their home became a center of teaching and worship. They hosted the church in their home. It's listed in two different places, so it's possibly the church was in their home while they were at Ephesus, and again in their home in Rome. And everyone who has ever hosted a large crowd at your home knows the cost and of time and resources that goes into it. Imagine hosting the church in your home every week. I can already see the bustling and hustling that's going to start happening on Friday at least, right? Cleaning of the spaces, the preparing of the meals for while they're there. Think of everything that went into Priscilla and Aquila opening their home to the church in Ephesus and in Rome. This was extreme hospitality. This was hospitality that was going to be welcomed by Christ himself. Then we look in commands. These were examples. But in Romans 12 and verse 13, it says, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Again, not a suggestion, but a command. And I want to look at an example where Jesus was involved, where hospitality had failed, but someone that you would least likely suspect showed true hospitality. In Luke 7, 36 to 50, Jesus is invited to dine at the home of a Pharisee named Simon. And he fails to offer him the basic courtesies of hospitality. And yet he harshly judges a sinful woman who shows Jesus deep love and reverence. Here's what Jesus said about his failure at hospitality. There were standard acts of Jewish hospitality that this man failed in offering to Jesus. The social norm of that day, Jesus points out, he offered no water for Jesus' feet, no kiss of greeting, and no oil for his head. These were three things that was expected when you walked into someone's home, especially as an invited guest. Jesus was an invited guest into this Pharisee's home, and there was no water to wash his feet. There was no kiss of greeting, and no oil for his head. The water for his feet was to get the dust off so he'd be at home and comfortable in his house. The kiss of greeting was a warm welcome, and the oil on his head usually was fragranced, and so you would smell good after being on the road. And yet Simon the Pharisee offered none of these things to Jesus. And in contrast, a woman known for her sinful life enters into the home of this Pharisee uninvited, weeping at Jesus' feet, and she shows him true hospitality. Jesus says, from the time she's entered, she has not ceased washing my feet with her tears, wiping my feet with her hair and kissing them. And she anointed his feet with expensive perfume. She accorded to Jesus all the hospitality that Simon the Pharisee had failed. And yet he sits there in his heart judging her. And so Jesus tells him a story. He gives him a parable. Jesus responds with a parable of two debtors. One who owes a lot, one who owes little, and he says both of them are forgiven. Who is going to love the one who forgave them the most? And Simon answered correctly and said, the one who owed much would be the more grateful. Jesus, the one who is forgiven much, would love more. And Jesus says of her, he says, you answered correctly. Then he turns the lesson on him. He says, the woman's extravagant love revealed her deep forgiveness, while Simon's lack of hospitality exposed his shallow heart. Jesus says, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. He says that in Luke 7:47. He then tells the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Here was in a case of a man who, on the surface, was showing hospitality. He invited Jesus into his home. But then he accorded him none of the societal norms. I talked about societal norms today. When we invite you into our home, we're going to offer you a place to hang your coat if you're wearing a coat, if it's inclement weather outside. We're going to offer you a place to sit and rest. We're going to offer you a refreshment, something to drink. Perhaps you've had a long journey. We're going to offer you something to eat. It may not be a feast, but we'll offer you something to eat. These are things in our society that are societal norms of hospitality. But imagine being welcomed into someone's home, but you don't feel very warm and invited. And they leave you standing in the doorway for a while, not knowing if, should I go in and sit down? Do I make myself at home? They offer no drink. They offer no food. They offer not to take your coat. Maybe you're standing there dripping wet and you don't know what to do with your coat. And the host just says, come in, and walks away. How do you feel? How do you feel versus walking in and the host says, here, let me take your coat. Here, come on in here, have a seat. What can I bring you to drink? Are you hungry? Do you see the difference in the feeling there? That kind of answers how Jesus was feeling in Simon the Pharisee's home. And then this woman comes in and shows him what true hospitality looked like. She shows him reverent love. In 1 Peter 4:9, Peter says, be hospitable to one another without complaint. It's a lot of work to host in one's home. Complaining may be the norm. But here the saint is told to do it without complaining. I want you to consider Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, as we consider Mary and Martha's home. Mary and Martha in Bethany, they've invited Jesus in. Martha opened her home to Jesus, but the weight of preparation consumed her. Sometimes we're hard on Martha, but I want us to, we all know where she's going, where she's coming from. We've been in her shoes. She wanted everything to be just right. And she's frustrated that nothing's going right. She doesn't have the proper help. Things aren't ready. And maybe she had a certain time in mind to eat. And Jesus is still in the living room teaching. And Mary is sitting at his feet. She's not helping. She's not being a hostess. And Martha's running around trying to do everything at once. And she gets so frustrated, she asks Jesus to correct Mary for not helping. Her desire to serve was good. But as Jesus said, her spirit became troubled. Peter's command reminds us that hospitality must be offered with joy, not resentment. Hosting requires effort. We all understand that. This account with Martha reminds us of that. There's cleaning, there's cooking, there's the preparing of the space, whatever that looks like. But the heart behind it matters more than the perfection of the arrangements. Sometimes that's a lesson we need to learn. Sometimes the welcoming in, whatever the house looks like, is more important than running around trying to make sure the house is perfect before we let anyone in. That's sometimes a hard lesson to learn. But that's what we learned from Martha. Jesus said it was more important to spend time with him than all the other preparation. Mary chose the better part by sitting at Jesus' feet. Showing true hospitality is not only about the preparation and the meal, but about spending time with Jesus, then physically, now figuratively, with Jesus and his people. Because Jesus says, as you do it to these my brothers, you do it to me. John 13, 34 to 35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. You know, and Jesus showed another example of hospitality to his disciples. In the night in which he's going to be betrayed, earlier in this chapter, in John 13, 1 to 17, Jesus demonstrated this love to them by washing the feet of his apostles. This was the ultimate act of humble hospitality. He took on the role of the lowly house servant. This was their job. And Jesus takes a towel and he bends down with a basin of water and he washes the apostles' feet at that Last Supper. This was so bizarre in their mind because at this point in time, they know who he is. They have seen him do miraculous, wonderful, divine things. And then he bends down with a towel and is taking their feet in the water and is washing their feet. And Peter says, oh no, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. And Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part or portion with me. And he says, then Lord, not only my feet, but my head also. But Jesus said, that wasn't the point. Jesus said, the point was that if I, your Lord, your teacher, your rabbi, your master, if I do this, then you do it to one another. Jesus showed them the ultimate act of hospitality. Something that was reserved for the lowest servant in the household. And yet the apostles saw the Lord of glory remove his outer garment, kneel down before them, taking their feet in the basin of water and a towel and washing their feet. I can understand why Peter would say, oh no, you shall never wash my feet. I also understand when he says, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. I get why Peter says, then all of me. But it wasn't about hygiene. This act wasn't about cleansing their feet. This was Jesus showing spiritual cleansing, showing them what it meant to have humility and love for one another. Because he says, I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you in verse 15. Jesus models the heart of hospitality, meeting needs with humility, initiating love and preparing others for deeper fellowship. Just as he washed feet, he called on his servants to serve one another, even in the lowliest ways. And as Peter says in 1 Peter 4, 9, with joy and with grace, be hospitable without complaint. To me, this moment shows hospitality is not about status, it's about service. It's not about being served, it's about serving. It's not about impressing, it's about loving. And Jesus says, as I did it to you, you do it to one another. Some people ask, why don't we wash feet today? They didn't have socks. We have socks today. There's a lot of things they didn't have then that they would have had servants for that we take for granted because we don't need it today. But there are a lot of ways that we can show humble acts of hospitality to one another. Something as simple as offering someone a drink when they come into our home. Offering them a comfy place to sit, sometimes in our own chairs. Have the seat of honor. Sit in my recliner, sit in my chair. Have something to drink, here's something to eat. Because they know that something went into that, in that offering. We don't have time this morning to read it, so I encourage you to do so. But hospitality is listed alongside prayer, love, and service in Romans 12, 9 to 21. It's part of the Christian identity. What that means is it's part of who we are as saints, who we are as Christians. To neglect it is to disobey Christ's command. I encourage you to read Romans 12, 9 to 21 on your own. and see that hospitality is just as important in our lives as prayer, as love, and service. And in some ways, our hospitality is how we show that service to one another. Hospitality, where heaven meets earth. Hospitality is blessing others and meeting Christ. Hebrews 13:2, hospitality may bring us into contact with angels. This verse connects hospitality with angelic visitation. I don't know how that works. I don't know if I've ever experienced that. He says you often do it unaware. That's the point. The point is, though, open your door. Let someone in. It's not about being served. It's about serving, that you might show hospitality to others. And I like this. I saw somewhere else. I did not come up with this. I read this earlier. Hospitality is not horizontal to people, but vertical unto God. Because Jesus says, as you did it to these, my brothers, even the lowliest of them or the least of them, you did it to me. Again, it's where heaven meets earth when we invite others into our lives and into our homes, into our tables. In Matthew 25:35-40, Jesus ties hospitality directly to eternal reward. He says in verse 35, I was a stranger and you invited me in. Hospitality to others is hospitality to Jesus himself. Jesus says, to the extent you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. In verse 40. In Luke 24:29-31, on the road to Emmaus, the disciples invite Jesus in to stay and in the breaking of their bread together with him. Their eyes are opened and hospitality becomes the moment of revelation as they see Jesus for who he is. They didn't know he was Jesus. And in fact, as they walked with him, they said, are you a stranger here? You don't know what's going on in Jerusalem right now? And as he eats with them, their eyes are opened and they see him for who he is. In Galatians 6:10, it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of faith, the household of faith. Another version says, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Hospitality is a way to do good to strangers and to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Hospitality blesses strangers. It strengthens saints. It encourages the weary. It comforts the lonely, and it builds up unity, because we're all to be showing this type of service to one another. I don't know about you, but a warm welcome can be a healing balm. A warm welcome might be the shot in the arm that you needed that week. Maybe you had a bad day at work, and you're invited to someone's house afterwards, and you're thinking, why did I say yes? I'm tired. I just want to go home. But then that door opens. And there's that person with that smiling, warm, welcoming face saying, come in, friend. Let me get you something to drink. Let me get you something to eat. You're in their house and they say, let me take care of you. Have you ever been in that situation? What healing to your heart that is, even after a hard day's work when all you want to do is go home. When someone invites you in, it's a huge honor. Let them be hospitable. Let them serve you. And you serve others. Let it be an example. Gospel meetings are a great opportunity to show hospitality. We have a visiting preacher, sometimes with their family, like last year in October, Nick Angel from Tennessee. He drove with his wife and two little girls. Gospel meetings can be a great opportunity to show hospitality, to bring someone in that you don't know, to invite them to your table, whether it's at your house or you're inviting them out, but taking care of them. But you don't have to wait until a gospel meeting to show love and hospitality. You can do that and practice that all the time. And in fact, as we look through the New Testament, we see it's expected of us. 1 Timothy 3:2. One of the qualifications for a shepherd is that he must be hospitable. This isn't just a bonus trait, it's a requirement. Shepherds, elders, bishops, the presbyters, however you want to read them in the scriptures, shepherds must model the heart of Christ who welcomes all in, the stranger, the foreigner, and the brothers and sisters. In 1 Timothy 5:9-10, A widow indeed is described as one who, quote, has been well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the Lord's people. Hospitality is a mark of spiritual maturity and godly character, not just for leaders, but for all saints. Hospitality is not just a virtue, it's a qualification. It's a sign of spiritual health and godliness. It's a channel of divine blessing that we embody the love of Christ to show others His love. When we open our homes, we open our lives to the work of the Spirit. And we never know what blessing will come from that. Hospitality is where Christ is revealed, where angels may walk in, and where love is made visible. It's how we show our love for one another, is in our hospitality. In our conclusion, hospitality is holy work, but eternal reward. Hospitality is not reserved for extroverts or even those with large homes, but it's a calling for every saint, and it's tied to eternal reward. Hospitality means love for strangers, but in Christ, no one remains a stranger. We become brothers and sisters, and so even though that visiting preacher or his family, they're not strangers after we invite them in once, right? They become friends. They become family. Whether it's a meal, a conversation, or a place to rest, our welcome can become someone's turning point. When we welcome others, we welcome in Jesus. Abraham's tent, Lydia's home, and even Martha's kitchen all remind us the work is real, but it's the heart that God sees. They are examples of heart over perfection. There is a heart to demonstrate hospitality, to demonstrate a love for the stranger. Today, your table can become a sanctuary of grace, a place where Jesus Himself is honored. But to do that, you must open your door, open your heart to let someone in. Hospitality is holy work, but it can be hard work. Preparing meals, cleaning spaces, making guests feel welcome. It takes effort. And I get it. It can be tiring. Martha knew this well in Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42. She opened her home to Jesus, but in her desire to have everything just right, she became frustrated and complained. And Jesus gently reminded her that Mary had chosen the better part, fellowship with Him. What I see in this is joy versus complaint. And we need to be reminded of 1 Peter 4:9, serve or be hospitable without complaint. The Spirit knows hosting can be tiring, and yet He calls us to do it with joy and without resentment. Following the example of Jesus washing feet, do the tasks of service with joy. Here's my final challenge to you this morning. What I want you to be thinking about for the next week. Who can you welcome to your table this week? This is not a solicitation. I just realized that. I'm not looking for invites. I want you to be thinking about this following week. Who can you welcome to your table this week? What stranger can you bless? And what brother or sister needs your encouragement? When you make it personal and you take the challenge personally, it becomes something new altogether. Where you're not waiting for an invitation. I need to see if so-and-so is going to show hospitality this week. I want you to show hospitality this week. You be looking for those opportunities. You look for the stranger. You look for that brother or sister that needs encouragement and say, how can I bless them? How can I serve them? I want you to be thinking of that this week. To open your doors and your hearts with joy. And remember that in welcoming in strangers, you may be just welcoming in angels. What a pleasant and wonderful thought that is. It's where we started, and it's where I want to end. That hospitality is a way that we might entertain angels without even knowing. But to do that, we must first open our doors. So open your doors, open your hearts, open your tables, and let someone in and see what a blessing it is for you as well as for them. If you're not a Christian this morning, You need to become one. I don't know any more welcoming and inviting way to do that than Jesus' own words in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, take my yoke and learn of me, for my burden is light." But he says, "Come unto me." If you're not a Christian this morning, Jesus invites you in. Into his family, that you might be a sharer and a partaker and a dweller of his eternal home one day. You have but to hear the gospel, believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as Lord, be baptized into his name for the forgiveness of your sins, and remain faithful to him. And if you are the Christian this morning, not living the way that you should, perhaps not being the example that you should, now's the time to make it right. Jesus says to you, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you're subject to invitation in any way, the waters of baptism or the prayers of the congregation for you and on your behalf, we invite you to come forward now while we stand and